like completely tied to it, I guess, but it seems like a reasonable way to arrange things because you can kind of connect ideas and stuff like that. But so I labeled a bunch of questions and stuff from our last discussion. One of the things was we talked about affordances and goals, or using the common structures to kind of ignore certain parts of this state space. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, say only consider this part and then maybe put stuff back in if it turns out to be necessary. Mm-hmm. And I assume that you kind of use affordances and goals to, like your initial starting
point. Affordances and goals, in some sense, are your initial attributes.
Attributes, right, yeah.
So in some sense, ultimately, your characterization...
I was going to say, what sounds good for lunch?
So they're the functional attributes. They're kind of the things that have semantics of the state.
Right.
And you can kind of show that you really don't need anything else.
Right.
But what you can do with the adjectives and things, you can break them into pieces. So you find commonalities among affordances.
Right.
So that if you're looking purely as a state representation, you're now asking kind of this question, if I can take multiple affordances and I can pull out these adjectives, and now these remaining affordance structures kind of become the same and these adjectives are the same, I now have a smaller set of features that make up my state representation.
Right. Okay.
What you can also do is you can pull out these adjectives, and for certain purposes,
walk over to Davis Hall and go to the
they might not be relevant.
Or if you wanna,
right.
Pop across the street, there's a pizza place.
But I guess the other thing we talked about was the dimensionality reduction.
Mm-hmm.
Are those things distinct, or is it the same thing?
They're kind of this. Well, okay, so they're not exactly the same thing, but kind of.
Okay. So what's I guess what's the difference?
Okay.
It sounds like we're.
We'll see, because sometimes if you split it. Okay. So
okay.
So I guess.
All right. I will.
There's a difference between. You can reduce your number of attributes or increase
sure.
it
okay.
without
mm-hmm.
at the same time increasing or decreasing your state space size. There's dimensionality and there's the size of the space. Usually, I mean, the size of the space is exponential in your dimensions, right?
Okay, yeah.
But that doesn't have to be the case. You can have spaces where the size of the space is linear in the dimensions.
Okay.
And that's simply because the only thing that relevantly occurs is characterized by not both of the dimensions, but it's actually all on the diagonal, for example, which means there's a one-dimensional space and a two-dimensional space.
Right.
So in some sense, when you're looking for common attributes, and if you ask the question, reduce the number of those, you're not necessarily reducing the size of the state space, but you might reduce its dimensionality. You're basically trying to find what the primary dimensions are that characterize your state space, or the relevant state space, as succinctly as possible.
Right.
And what is and then you can go a step further and you can say what's relevant is actually a function of what I want to do. Which means I have these dimensions that could be relevant, but I actually, for this particular type of problem, I'm only going to be using this subset.
I see.
Because that's the only thing that's relevant to it. In some sense, affordances are a little bit like that because they're kind of identifying a dimension in which is relevant to what you can do. Now, it might later turn out that for certain problems, it's not relevant because some other dimensions already captured. So finding adjectives of common structures can effectively say, are there some smaller number of dimensions hidden within that actually characterize all of these? Because the problem with just the affordances, they're basically treated as orthogonal dimensions.
Right.
In reality, though, there might be a lower dimensional space embedded in it.
Now, does
I mean, I guess if you look at objects and adjectives, it's kind of, in those, it's clear. I mean, the raw space of all objects would be like this door and this door and that door and every door in the world is one dimension.
Right, that's what I was going to say. So
but if you pull out an adjective like the location and the shape, then suddenly there's one attribute, one dimension is door, and the other dimensions are made up by the other attributes.
So what I was going to say is, like, object generalization kind of serves a similar role. Is that
yes.
accurate to say?
Yeah. But what it also, where it actually becomes in particular important is, again, once you're trying to generalize what you do.
Yep.
Because then you need these general attributes.
Right.
Because you don't have relations between specific attributes. The general attributes tell you what the relations between the specific ones are. And the adjectives, in some sense, are the identifiers of the specific instance of the broader category.
Right. Okay.
And so they do also help you structure the space and make it, in some sense, easier to move dimensions around.
Yes. Well, I mean, anytime you make the... if the space is smaller, it seems like it's just going to be easier to work.
Well, see, but keep in mind, you're not necessarily making it smaller. Changing the representation doesn't necessarily make it smaller.
It reduces the number of dimensions that you need to consider.
Well, see, sometimes you're actually increasing it. Hmm. But yes, in general, your preference is to decrease it, which...
Decrease the dimensionality, but not the representation.
But not necessarily the state space itself,
right.
Because you have this high dimensional space where the relevant parts of the state space might actually already be lower dimensional.
Right.
But what it does by moving it lower dimensional is it makes your model simpler.
Yes.
As it basically makes it easier to think about it, even though it might not necessarily reduce the space. Now, abstraction will reduce the space.
Right.
What will reduce... Separating the... In some sense, separating kind of the noun or the affordance from the adjective and using them as separate dimensions will not actually reduce... It might reduce the dimensionality. It should. It will not reduce the size of the state space.
Right.
It will start reducing the size of the state space once you can actually remove parts where you say, and by the way, for this, these attributes, these adjectives are no longer necessary for me to know.
So that's another question I had. It sounds like... there's kind of two things going on, right? Like, the other thing being, it's almost like you're creating like a virtual state space to a certain extent, or a higher level state space. Is that true?
Well, eventually you want to basically be able to have, you want to over time build more and more abstract, more and more symbolic or language oriented representations of the state space. They're all the same, they're all tied together.
Yes.
Your low level execution is always going to happen at the bottom.
Right.
But your decision-making happens at higher and higher and higher
right.
levels.
Yep.
As you have fixed policies at these lower levels that you can now instantiate at a higher level.
Yes. As a action choice, essentially.
Right. And then at that level, a lot of the dimensionalities of the lower space, or a lot of the attributes of the lower spaces, are irrelevant because the policies are explicitly such that they handle that.
Now... at one level, you're essentially constructing, or at least you're considering, only attributes generated from sort of policies that
yes.
you have created, that have been...
You're learned. Only considering attributes that you know are relevant.
Now, if you go down one level, are those attributes still part of the state space, or has
no.
it become just a more primitive state space?
Well, okay, so you're thinking of this as a strict hierarchy. I think ultimately it's not. Ultimately, you basically have a set of attributes you can use to characterize your state space, and you can actually throw them together any way you want.
Okay.
While you're building them, you clearly go strictly up, and when you're building the policy that is a particular affordance, obviously the space on which you learn it does not contain that affordance, because it doesn't exist yet.
Right.
After that, there's no reason not to take part of the attributes of this space and part of the attributes of that space and throw them together.
Yep.
There's really never any reason. So what that gives you is kind of the thing where I plan at this space, but if someone asks me a question about something else, I suddenly pop in all those
so
additional dimensions.
You could think of it more as kind of a undirected graph, or maybe semi-directed graph, in terms of how these things relate to each other, rather than some sort of tree structure.
Well, ultimately, their grounding is kind of a tree structure.
Yeah.
It has to be, because you can only ground in what already exists.
Inside here, where you're doing actual reasoning...
But when you're doing reasoning,
you can.
You don't have to strictly pick a level in this.
Right.
You can basically say... You can pick anything you want. You can say... Because what this tree really is, it's kind of the tree on how these different dimensions, these different attributes, get grounded.
Right.
You can pick any set of attributes you want to construct a state space representation.
Okay.
Now, some of them will be really bad picks because they're not complete enough.
Right.
And some of them will be bad picks because they're hyper redundant, because one is simply a subset. Like, there's no reason to have the general object and then all the instances of an object in a state space, because it's completely redundant.
Yep.
But so basically, the idea is that you can construct them, and that actually ultimately what you want to do is you want to dynamically construct them based on what you're trying to achieve right now and what your world looks like.
So even
so basically, if I walk around to do this task, I might have a particular representation that I have, and suddenly there's a bird coming in, and I'm throwing in additional attributes in my state representation. I'm actually going to change it on the fly while I'm doing something, and that is because there suddenly is my task has changed.
Mm-hmm.
That bird flying by changed my task because there's something new now there that I haven't considered before.
And
so that you really don't have necessarily this layer and this layer and this layer.
Right, because if you're learning a new task, it seems you can pull things which might be below you or more primitive policies, but you could also pull policies that you already know from the same level, so then it's like, what level
does
that thing actually live
at? And more than that, see, I mean, in some sense, you always have the full repertoire of actions, but what you think about what your representation is changes. And it could be that, like, while I'm walking through this room, the granularity of the representation that I'm using at different places in this might actually change.
Yes.
Based on what the context is. Now, how you ultimately make that dynamic change is a different question, because now you need kind of a utility for the representational attributes.
Right.
So that you can actually decide whether it's worth to have this attribute or not. And so we've done a little bit of that with Mehran, when the last thing he did in his dissertation was kind of looking at that. Again, he was basically looking at what his utility was effectively the reduction in learning speed, given that you use this attribute. And it's kind of an very expensive calculation, and wasn't done dynamically in that sense. But but the idea was basically saying, given all the past tasks, how much faster or slower would I expect to learn these past tasks if I would have had this attribute or not?
Right, I remember talking about that.
And so he started with the coarse base, and then started breaking it. Really, we did two things. One is basically where you break it uniformly, so you're basically deciding what's your attribute set, which would mean your entire state space is covered the same way. I think in the end, he actually did an algorithm where it would do it dynamically at every place. So you might use your attribute, that attribute here, but not over here.
Right.
But always keeping this in mind, that the attribute was always being processed.
Yeah.
Just not to make decisions. So he was actually using kind of this two-level hierarchical representation, where there was a coarse representation, which was only the things that had positive utility, on which he was learning the policy, and there was a passive level below it, which there was all the attributes that could potentially have any utility, and he was learning two value functions. This is the one you use. This one was there for the sole purpose that you do periodic comparisons. And if these two numbers turn out to be dramatically different, basically if you have a coarse representation here, and then you have look at all the cells that have the fine representations, and if there's high variation in it, that means there's something that isn't in here that actually dramatically changes your value.
Yeah.
And actually, you can say what it was.
You could actually find it.
Yeah, because down there, you've actually done a value function that included the attributes. Among all of those, you can say, well, and these are higher than these, and they are and the difference between them is this attribute. So now you can put it back up and re-split it. It's a slower process, because learning the value function at that low level takes dramatically longer than at that high level.
Yeah.
But what it does is it gives you the ability to fix if you misinterpreted what you learned. It's really for the case, if you only learn tasks that are like the old tasks, you should never need it.
Right.
But of course, you can't guarantee that.
Yeah.
something new comes around that doesn't match anything in the past, then all your assumptions about your, the utility of a representation is are out the window, because that's purely based on if everything I do from now on is the exact same stuff I did in the past. And it's incredibly hard to do any other assumption, because, I mean, how do you say what will happen if I have to do something that I've never seen yet?
Right.
I mean, you can't model the thing you've never seen yet.
Right.
And as a result, you can't estimate how you're going to do on it. So so in some sense, what you're going to do is always assume things in the past, and you hope that already has enough variation that it will capture virtually everything in the future. But what that two-level thing effectively gives it is it gives it a way out of it.
But that's that solution is not going to scale very well, probably, right?
Well, ultimately, you'll have to do this multiple levels. And that's the reason is that bottom level is so much larger that you can't ultimately do that raw level for the entire world. You can only do it for local pieces.
Yeah.
So you would do that for the local piece you're in, and then eventually you would have multiple levels.
Right.
But basically, this is all that I think that I'm sure is necessary. This is all I think might be, and then somewhere all the way down there is maybe still everything there is. Now, in humans, you could make the argument that that lowest level doesn't exist. There are things that you can no longer do.
Right.
That you would have been fully capable of, but you just can't. Which means that level, that ability to resolve differences, no longer exists.
Now, are we talking about moving individual muscle fibers, something like that?
Yeah, or very low-level muscle control changes and things.
Yeah.
It's just because that representation is no longer in existence.
Probably too huge.
Except if what you do is something at a much lower level, very local, because then they still exist.
Well,
except you can't do that consciously.
Right.
But so they still exist somewhere.
They have to exist in order to execute.
But not for
right?
the broad task that you deliberate about. Only for the small tasks that you don't.
Well, they have to exist in order to execute whatever you're doing.
Yes.
Right?
But you don't have access. You need an A. You need an A. I mean, we can make it into a BG2.